I'm sorry, the doctor says again. Damn right you're sorry. The doctor frowns at her, starts to say something, thinks better of it. He blinks at her over his clipboard. Good luck to you and your husband, he says, and goes back out again. Anne feels like she should probably wait for the nurse to show up again, but she doesn't. Takes her purse and jacket and just leaves. Nothing more to say. Her business here is done. She's restless. Restless and angry. The clerks and nurses in the middle part of the clinic look at her as she passes through on her way to the waiting room, but none of them say anything to her. None of them dare. Out on the street, it is sleeting, which means a hard trip home over 4th of July pass. She isn't in any particular hurry to get home anyway. Malloy will be asleep, he's been on the night shift lately, and everybody else is busy with their children and their lives, or out conniving. She thinks she might go out to Northtown, walk around the mall for a while, though she doesn't have any money to buy anything. Nothing big, anyway. She likes to see what's on sale, though. Likes to wander through the shops and imagine all the lives that people are leading, the parties they would wear these dresses to. 22 years old, and it feels like her life is over. There's a bar just down the street from the clinic. The J&H, it's called. Seems like a nice enough place. She hopes it's not too expensive. They like to jack the prices up in these downtown places, but she's only going to have one. Whiskey Ditch, she tells the bartender. It's warm and quiet here, a comfortable place, old wood back bar. She seems to be the only face in the mirror, her and the bartender. He sets the drink on the bar in front of her and says, "What part of Montana are you from?" "What the hell do you mean by that?" He laughs pleasantly. He's got a nice enough face, a few years older than her, a little worn from cigarettes and booze. "I don't mean anything," he says. "I'm from Helena myself." "I'm not from Montana." "But you're not from here." "No? How do you know?" "The ladies of Spokane," he says. "They mostly don't order whiskey at all, and if they do, they do it differently." Anne wonders if she should be insulted by this, but she doesn't want to be. He seems nice enough, and talking to him is so much better than thinking about the things she has to think about. "What do the ladies of Spokane order, then?" "Clear drinks," he says. "I had somebody in here the other day. She ordered a vodka and soda." "Explain that." "And if they order whiskey?" "Always call and never well," he says. "Usually top shelf, at least for the first one. That way, if somebody feels like buying you a drink, you're set up for the evening." "Are you going to buy me a drink?" "Are you going to pay for that one?" "Sure," she says. "Then I'm buying the next one." "What's your name?" "Marie," Anne says. "I'm Tim," says the bartender. "What will you have?" "What do I want?" "Canadian, I guess." "Crown Royal?" "Oh, God."
"What?"
"Canadian," he says. "This place I used to work before, the owner would take Lewis and Clark Canadian and pour it into the Crown Royal bottles, and nobody ever complained. As in, not even once. By the time you put it on ice and mix a little Coke in there, no difference at all." "Why don't you just surprise me?"
"Whatever you want."
"I have a feeling you're going to tell me what I want, so why don't you just surprise me?" Tim grins at her. "It's nice in here, with all the warm wood and quiet."